So tenderly lifts our humanity to the heights of Good morning, congregation. Welcome to worship on a beautiful Sunday morning. It's good to be gathered as God's people to worship and praise Him. Special welcome also to those worshiping with us online through our YouTube channel and our video link or watching the service later as well. We pray that God's name is praised as we worship Him together. Congregation, just before we begin our service this morning, just two announcements. The first is that there is a youth service this evening, so for our high school age students, again, all are welcome to come to the church service, but for the part afterwards, that's for the youth, and so if you are looking to join the youth and be like a leader or something like that, then you can come to the dinner and play games with us. But yeah, everybody is welcome to the service, and we've invited some other area CRC churches to join us for this service. So hopefully there'll be a larger number of youth this evening for the service. As well, this coming Friday night at 6:30, there is a mystery dinner. If you want to come to this mystery dinner, you're invited to talk to Clarence, our clerk, to sign up with that. If talking to Clarence is kind of scary, we have a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall. But again, it's adults only. It's at 6:30 on Friday. But we do need to have you signed up so that we can make sure that there is enough food. I'm going to share just a little bit more. This is not a murder mystery dinner, but a three-course dinner. The mystery part of the meal is that all the items will be disguised as Bible names or a Bible storyline. You'll be choosing the appropriate number of items for each course, and what you serve and what you are served is going to be what you choose, and everything is cleared away at the end of each particular course. So that is the mystery. So again, if you are interested, please do sign up with Clarence. We are looking forward to a good evening of fun and fellowship as council serves you also this day. Congregation, as we have gathered though in this place, we're called to worship, and we're called to worship with a song that we've been singing throughout Lent. And so I invite you, if you're able, to stand as the team leads us this morning singing, "Turn Your Eyes Towards Jesus."
And the thing
congregation these words in greeting to those who are called, who are beloved in God the Father and kept safe in Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, may mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance. And all God's people say, Amen. Congregation, at this time I'm going to invite you to remain standing as we sing our next song of praise. Our opening hymn is In Christ Alone.
This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless faith, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on the cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever blow me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever blow me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Brothers and sisters, in this season of Lent, we remember our Savior's suffering. This morning I invite you to join me in confessing our sins to him in a unified prayer of confession. Brothers and sisters, let's pray these words together. Most holy and merciful Father, we confess to you and to one another that we have sinned against you by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart and mind and strength. We have not fully loved our neighbors as ourselves. We have not always had in us the mind of Christ. You alone know how often we have grieved you by wasting your gifts, by wandering from your ways, by forgetting your love. Forgive us, we pray you, most merciful Father, and free us from our sin. Renew in us the grace and strength of your Holy Spirit, for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Savior. Amen.
Congregation, having confessed
our sin. Hear then these words written by the writer of Hebrews in chapter 5. In the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest, but God said to him, "My son, you are my son. Today I have become your father." And he says in another place, "You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek." During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. Brothers and sisters, because of what Christ did on the cross for us, our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God for a Savior such as this. Now, congregation, knowing that we are forgiven, that we are made right with God because of what Christ has done, how are we to live? Well, there's a responsive commitment to holy living that we have, and I ask the questions, congregation, I would invite you to respond with your part. Brothers and sisters, since we have been saved by grace, how shall we live in obedience to him who has saved us?
We will love the Lord our God with all our hearts, our mind, and our strength. We will love our neighbors as ourselves.
And how will it be clear that the Lord has first place in your life? How will it be clear that you love others as yourselves?
We will honor our parents and hold the family in high esteem. We will not abuse, hate, or injure our friends or neighbors by their word, gesture, or deed. We will live sexually holy and disciplined lives. We will not steal. We will not lie. We will not grasp for what we do not have, nor reject others.
Will you commit yourselves to this obedience?
Yes, by God's grace, we will do it.
Indeed, congregation, this is how we are invited to live thankful lives, showing our gratitude for what God has done for us in Jesus Christ, by how we live honoring God and loving our neighbors as ourselves. Congregation, our song of assurance that we're going to sing is going to be led by the team as we sing "Before the Throne of God Above." You may remain seated as we sing.
Your time, my sinful soul is
At this time, I'm going to invite the children forward. And children, if you could come kind of towards this side over here. Mr. Mike Kramer is going to lead our children's message this morning. So kids, if you could come sit up front here, just onto the side.
How are you guys today? I'll tell you what, I did a lot of walking yesterday. My feet are sore. Does anyone want to give me a foot rub? Yeah? No? I don't. Like, a lot of people don't like feet, right? Feet are gross. Feet are dirty. Usually they smell, right? Yours aren't dirty? Yeah. I don't know. A lot of people's feet are dirty. But you know what? Jesus was willing to touch his disciples' feet. Oh yeah. Jesus was willing to touch his disciples' feet, and I bet you those guys had some dirty feet. They spent a lot of time walking around in the desert, right? I don't think they probably took very good care of them. But Jesus was trying to teach us how to be humble and how to be servants, right? How do you think we can be servants? What's an example of ways that we can be humble? Yeah? Like what you're doing right now, listening, right? Maybe in school, listening to your teachers, being humble, being obedient, right? Behaving for your parents, not complaining about food you have to eat. Do we ever complain about the food we eat? Yeah, sometimes, right? But maybe we can try not to, just as Jesus' example, okay? So let's pray. Dear Lord, thanks for being a Savior. Thanks for your example of humility. Lord, help us to be humble around people around us. In your name we pray. Amen.
Congregation, we have opportunity this morning also to go to God in our congregational prayer. Let me lead us as we pray. Lord God, we thank you for who you are and all that you do. Lord, you create all things. Lord, you spoke at the beginning of time and creation was. Just by your word, there was light and creatures, trees, hills, seas, everything, Lord, has its being in you. And Lord, not only did you create, but you also sustain this world. Lord, we thank you for all that you do. Lord, we thank you for beautiful sunshine, for birds that we hear singing more and more. Lord, for the reminder that the seasons are changing, Lord, even as there is frost and cool and warmth and even rain. Lord, we thank you that all this comes from your hand. Lord, we pray that you continue to watch over us. Lord, also in what we seek to do. Lord, that we can bring honor and glory to you in and through the things that you have called us to do. Lord, as we prepare as farmers for the spring planting season ahead. Lord, as we prepare as students to continue to work and do the things that you have called us. As we prepare in the home to serve you by serving others. Lord, may all of our words, may all of our actions be a life of service to you. Lord God, this morning we lift up before you those who are sick and especially those who are in the hospital. Lord, we pray that you be near to them and give them also your strength. Be with doctors too as they prepare courses of action, Lord, to seek to find remedies and find good ways forward. Lord, we think of those who are traveling. Lord, those who are gone away or those who soon hope to return. Lord, we pray for safety by by train or by rail, by car or by plane. Lord, in the various ways that we get around, we ask, Lord, for your hand to watch over us. Lord God, we lift before you also those who are called in a special way to serve you by being accountants and bookkeepers. Lord, this is a busy time of year, and we pray, Lord, for strength for them as they carry through this challenging time. Lord, give them also your grace. Lord, be with those who are busy with other things. Lord, we think of those in school and in sports and in many activities. Lord, may they find healthy and good balance in life. Lord God, as we worship you this morning, we pray that you continue to guide us and keep us. Lord, as we look to your word and see how it guides us and how you yourself lived, may we see in that, Lord, not just an inspiration, but an example, not just to look at and to follow like robots, but to willingly want to be like, because we want to be like you. Lord, continue to be near to us. Help us in the good times and in the bad. Lord, give us your grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Congregation, we're going to sing before we open God's word this morning from our Lift Up Your Hearts book, Spirit of the Living God. We're going to read from John 13, but before we do that, we're going to sing that song. I invite you, if you're able, to stand as we sing this song, singing for the Spirit's leading also as we open God's holy word. At this time, I'm going to invite you to take out your Bibles and to turn with me there to John's Gospel. In John's Gospel, we're looking at chapter 13 this morning. We're going to read there the first 17 verses of chapter 13. If your pew Bible is the same as the one I have here, it's on page 1044. Now, congregation, this year in Lent, we've been seeking to picture Jesus, to understand a bit more of our suffering Savior, as we look at the different glimpses we get of him in the Gospel of John. We've seen early on from John chapter 2 that Jesus was a miracle worker. He transformed water into wine at the wedding at Cana. But then we were reminded that sometimes Jesus didn't perform miracles, including coming down from the cross. Then last time we looked at Jesus being the good shepherd who not only took care of his sheep, but ultimately, in fact, laid down his life for the sheep. And now this morning in John chapter 13, we get a different picture of Jesus. Jesus, the foot washer. Jesus, leading by serving. Hear then the word of the Lord. It was just before the Passover feast. Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. The evening meal was being served, and the devil had already prompted Judas Iscariot, son of Simon, to betray him, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, "Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "A person who has had a bath needs only to wash his feet. His whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that is why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. I tell you the truth, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now, congregation, one of the things that I love about serving here in the congregation in Dresden is that if I happen to make reference in a sermon, as I will this morning, to a country and western song, at least a few of you will probably know what song I'm talking about. The song I'm thinking about this morning is a song sung by the country artist Tim McGraw. It's a song in which Tim chronicles the story of a man who gets a pretty difficult medical diagnosis. He gets a medical diagnosis, we're not told what it is, but he finds out that he has just a few weeks, a few months to live. And then the song, Tim talks about what changes the man makes, what decisions he makes as he knows that his time is coming to a close. Now, the song that I'm thinking about is the song, "Live Like You Were Dying." And in that song, "Live Like You Are Dying," the man says, and I'm going to save you the singing, but I could get Julia back up here or something. But "Live Like You Are Dying." And he says, I went skydiving. I went Rocky Mountain climbing. I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Fu Manchu. The man decides to do some incredible crazy things. But then he also does some incredibly good things. He goes fishing with family and friends. And he says that he became a better husband and a better father because he knew that his time was drawing to a close. Time was running out. Now, I don't want to be morbid this morning, but congregation, what would you do? What would you do if you knew that it was weeks or months that you had left? Would you go skydiving or Rocky Mountain climbing? Would you go bull riding? Or what would you do? Would there be changes that you would make in your life? What would rise to the top? What would become a priority for you? Would you wash people's feet? If you still have your Bibles open, look at the text with me. Verse 1 tells us, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Jesus' death isn't some kind of cosmic accident. Jesus knew that the time had come. He knew what was coming and he chose to go forward anyway. Now, Jesus didn't have some kind of terminal disease like that gentleman in the Tim McGraw song that I referenced. No, he was heading to a cross. The cross wasn't something that was his fate because he lived in a cruel world and it was so difficult. No, it's a plan made by God, known by Jesus. Jesus knew that he was going to the cross. He's not a helpless victim. He's in charge, willingly going forward. He sees the cross and heads to it. Jesus knew the end is in sight, and he didn't go bull riding. He didn't go Rocky Mountain climbing. He didn't party it up, try to do different things. He sits down for a meal with his closest friends. Now, this Passover supper, which is what they were celebrating, actually foreshadows the cross and the Lamb of God paying for the sins of the world. But that's not as far as we get in the text. We're actually getting ahead of that. Jesus, as the evening meal, actually does this for a different reason. Verse 1 again. He now showed them the full extent of his love. Love. Jesus here is leading by example. He's choosing to serve. He's becoming a foot washer. This is an ancient custom of hospitality in a land where sandals were what you wore and roads were dusty. Typically, a slave or a servant would be given this menial task to do. If no servant was available, then, well, the lowest ranking member, maybe the most junior person there, would do it. But that night at the supper, no one wanted to be the least. No one wanted to serve the others. So Jesus, as he does so often, teaches and leads by example. He kneels on the floor. He wraps a towel around him. He takes his disciples' feet in his hands and washes them. Mike asked this morning to the children if anybody wanted to wash his feet or touch even his feet. I'm assuming Mike's had a bath in the last couple of days. His feet have been cleaned. The disciples didn't. Dusty roads. Camels, donkeys, sheep, goats, everything's walking the roads with them. Jesus kneels down and washes. Over the last number of years, we've spent a lot of time learning a lot more about sanitization and all that stuff. No hand sanitizer or soap in sight. Jesus kneels down and picks up their dirty feet. Now, some Christians have actually literally taken this command as something, do as I have done, and wash each other's feet. Maundy Thursday, maybe that's a term some of you have heard before. That's the day when the supper would have taken place, derives its name from the Latin mandatum, meaning mandate or commandment. This command I give you to wash one another's feet. It exemplifies Jesus' love in action and actually shows not only Jesus' love, but also the kind of leadership he's looking for in his servants. The greatest must be the servant of all. Servant leadership is what Jesus demonstrated here. And there was an ad a number of years ago now in Christianity Today. And it said, you want to be world class? If so, grab a towel. I wonder if Jesus is not so concerned here about the doctrine and what these disciples were thinking. He didn't want just head knowledge. He wanted heart knowledge and lived reactions. How are they going to live? Maybe some of you have heard of the gentleman by the name of Dallas Willard, a good author. In his book, Grab a Towel, he actually says, you know, in many of our Bibles, and I know the one in my study has it as well, we have red letters for the words of Christ. Dallas Willard asks, well, maybe we should have Bibles with green letters. Green letters for go. Green letters for do this. Christ shows here that love for others is not just a commandment, but something that is lived. Not just an emotional feeling, but something that is translated into deeds. And he calls us at the end here of the text there to do the same thing. Serve one another. My congregation, that is not all that is going on in the text. There in the middle of the text there, we see that foot washing, yes, was a big deal according to the customs of the day, but there's actually more going on here that Jesus is also showing. He discusses there with Peter in verses 6 to 11 what's going on. He's also referring to a cleansing from sin. Unless Jesus washes us, verse 8 tells us, we can have no part in him. In fact, only, as John's gospel starts out in chapter 1, only the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world can make us clean. If you come to Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's like you have a spiritual bath. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we are washed. Our sins are forgiven. But sometimes as we walk the dusty roads of this world, our feet become dirty. And sometimes it isn't just dust we pick up. Sometimes we pick up the attitudes of the world. We follow in the world's actions. Here in this text, in this washing ceremony, we're reminded again that we need to be cleaned. Sunday after Sunday, we come to church. We have a confession of sin, a recognition of our failures. And then Sunday after Sunday, by God's grace, also an assurance of pardon to remind us that in Christ, our sins are forgiven. Congregation, Jesus can do this if you ask him. He in our text here, takes away Peter's pride. No, not my feet. Okay, well, if you have to do it, then all of me needs cleaning. Jesus shows love through serving. But this was also, verses 12 to the end, show us a teaching opportunity for Jesus. A teaching about leadership. The disciples were often arguing. And you know what they often argued about? Not who would get to wash feet, but who was the greatest. Who was the greatest power leadership? Or servant leadership? That tension's been present in the church ever since. Who's the greatest? Jesus says it's about serving. Jesus knows. He's heading to the cross. He knows what is coming. And Jesus' final act with his disciples is to encourage them and to show his love to them. Congregation, we live in a world that desperately needs to see the love of Christ. In fact, as John's gospel ends, as we skip ahead to the end in chapter 20, verse 21, just before he heads into heaven, he says, As I have been sent, Jesus said so to his disciples, I am sending you. Are you his disciples? Are you his followers? He wants you to serve. Jesus' disciples were the main way that the Lord was going to reach this world. Congregation, how easy is it to imitate what you do not know? There's a pet store that we sometimes go and buy pets. We've been through several hamsters now in our family, and we often go and buy them from the same place in Chatham. And that place that we get them from in Chatham has a parrot in the store. You know, if a parrot learns, let's say, a swear word, doesn't really reflect on the parrot. It reflects on the person who trained the parrot. You know, one of the things that I've noticed in our church and have been celebrating is the fact that we have so many new little ones, those little babies. I love watching them get passed around in the fellowship hall. One of the things I like about little ones, and it's not quite this age, but when they're just a little bit bigger, is watching those little ones and then having fun with them. I remember when my boys were younger and they get to this stage where they can start to copy and you puff out your cheeks and they do the same thing. And you go like this, and they do the same thing. And you blow kisses and they do it. You stick out your tongue and they copy you. It's fitting behavior for a child and it's beautiful. The congregation, ultimately, Jesus' plan isn't for us to just stay as babies. We're called to follow him. We're called to grow in Christian maturity, not just blah, 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 or puff out our cheeks or blow a kiss. Not just a straight up copy, but to have who Jesus is be inside of us so that it can't help but come out of us. That we live the way we're called to do, that we're Christ-like in all we do and say. That it's not just we put on a suit and tie or we put on a nice dress or whatever for church on Sunday. But that in business on Monday and in sports on Tuesday and hanging out with friends on Friday and going out for dinner and everything we do, that Christ is in us and comes out of us. All of life is imitation of one sort or another. My boys love to play basketball. My son's got a little basketball thing that they play downstairs. It's not uncommon to hear from the basement, well, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Curry, Kobe. Names of great players as they're playing and taking shots. Or if you want to bake and you want to do it well, you pull out your tablet and you search and you watch someone who does something well. If you're not exposed to people who do things well, how are you going to imitate it? How are you going to be like Christ if the only time the Bible is opened is Sunday morning here in church? How are you going to know what he wants you to do and how he's called you to live? Congregation, do you want fulfillment in life? Do you want to be blessed? Verse 17 actually tells us how to do this. It's not actually about skydiving or Rocky Mountain climbing or even if you want to try it, bull riding. There's always more or bigger or different that you could try. Congregation, do you want fulfillment in life? Christ tells us, serve one another. Happiness and fulfillment aren't in places of great wealth or great power. Jesus tells us they're in places of service. Congregation, the simple truth is that mankind would have perished eternally had it not been found and saved and redeemed by the humble servant God. God shows the fullness of love in that supper that evening on Maundy Thursday. Jesus showed that he loved his followers, not just here at the end, but while he was with them. He loved them completely and fully. He laid down his life for them. Congregation, if you haven't already, accept this Savior as your own and then depend on him to save you from your sin and then show people that your sins are forgiven, that you have accepted Jesus Christ by living out what Christ has called you to do. Serve one another. Serve even your enemies. Demonstrate in this that you love Christ. He isn't interested necessarily in your biblical knowledge or your ability. He's looking for you to live it out. Congregation, Christ came from heaven to earth in space, from time, from eternity to 30 some odd years here on earth, from deity to humanity, from cosmic sovereignty to an ordinary town, from God to human flesh, from the head of all things to washing feet. God serving man. Congregation, perhaps grabbing a towel is a much better symbol of Christian discipleship than we've been willing to admit. Love in action. Brothers and sisters, verse 17. Now that you know these things, you'll be blessed if you do them. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, this Sunday we're reminded again that our celebration of Easter is heightened. Our joy is deepened when we nestle the good news of Jesus' death and resurrection in its proper context also of sacrifice and suffering and serving. Lord, all that went into the paradoxical way in which Jesus Christ was glorified, which was his death on the cross. Lord, we do well today to remember the darkness against which this light of Easter shines all more brightly. Lord, we think you are the one who wraps heaven in a cloud and wrapped a towel around yourself. Lord, you are the one who poured the water into oceans and lakes. Lord, and you tipped water into a bowl. And Lord, you are the one before whom every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And yet, Lord, you knelt to wash your followers' feet. Lord, you showed love in action. Lord, we pray that we may follow you. Not just with lip service, or not just, Lord, with outward conformity that looks like, yet we're doing the right things, but that out of the overflow of gratitude for what you have done for us by saving us in Jesus Christ, that we live a life of obedience, of service, that we treat all in business, in our relationships, that we treat them with your love, that people can see, even those who don't like us, even our enemies can see love in action by what we do and by what we say. Lord, may we be blessed by doing as you have done. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the team forward at this time, and they're going to lead us in singing our song of response, What Wondrous Love Is This? Congregation, if you're able, I would invite you to stand to sing this song, What Wondrous Love Is This? Number 164.
What wondrous love is this?
this morning's offerings for classical ministry shares. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thanks for the Christian Reformed Church. Thanks for their willingness to work together for your will, Lord. Please bless this money that we give. In your name we pray. Amen.
Praise team, and also a special thank you to those new members of the praise team who are helping to lead us in singing and playing this first time. It's wonderful to see you using your gifts also for God's glory and his people's edification. Congregation, our closing song this morning is "The Church of Christ Cannot Be Bound." We'll sing the first four verses of that song, then we'll have the benediction, and then unannounced afterward, as a doxology, "May the Mind of Christ My Savior." Congregation, I invite you to stand if you're able as we close out our service in song this morning. Brothers and sisters, these words, Leave a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. And all God's people say, Amen.